What up, y'all? Welcome to the Texas Sports Unfiltered post-game show brought to you by Covert Bee Cave and Audiovisual Consultations. I am Zay Collier, joined by my main man, Double R, Rodney Rodriguez. Happy New Year, everybody, and appreciate y'all for rocking with us all year to close out the season. The Texas Longhorns beat the Michigan Wolverines in the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl. You saw the Cheez-It shower on Steve Sarkisian after the game, which I told Chip earlier in the week, Double R, they better not do that because it's mad corny, and I'm still petty. I'm still petty and salty that this team didn't get a chance to play for the college football playoff after beating Oklahoma and A&M and having a 10-win season. But the way these guys fought in this game, how chippy it got, both teams wanted this game bad. Yeah. You know, both quarterbacks were talking their shit. I salute both of these teams for giving a damn, because there could be a lot of reasons why you don't. And a lot of guys who opted out in this game, we've been talking about it all week, Double R. This is a chance for these guys who haven't played much to get opportunities. And you saw that all over the field for the Texas Longhorns, from Rowan Roberson making big time hits, big time plays. Leonga LaFau, Anthony Hill aren't playing. What happens? Tyathie Smith gives you two interceptions. Yeah. You know, Ryan Wingo goes down. DeAndre Moore transfers. Emmett Mosley's in a boot. Somebody has to step up. Kalik Lockett does for that big time catch. But everything comes down to with this game, Rodney, is Arch Manning completely taking over the game with his arm, with his legs, 221 yards through the air, two touchdowns, 155 yards on the ground, two touchdowns, and a 60-yarder to boot. The dude is one tough son of a bitch. He's bleeding through the lip. You know, they pulled up his jersey. He got
he had that strawberry.
He white as shit, so you know that's going to leave a purple, red, and blue bruise in the morning, which, Arch, you can't do that for a full, you know, 12 games, 15 games. That's what you want to do next year, 2026. But in the last game of the season, when you got none to lose, you got 8 months to get right. I respect him putting it on the line like he did today. And the growth that he showed from that game, from the first of the season with Ohio State, where he looked like he was seeing deer in the headlights, where he just, the footwork, the mechanics, the sidearm, everything was so out of whack, to now where he just couldn't be more comfortable on the field. That's the biggest bright spot of this 2025 season that Texas fans are going to remember. And that's some serious momentum that you're carrying in the 2026.
Zay, you thought this dude, and Happy New Year, by the way, my brother, and Happy New Year to everybody, you know, checking in on the post-game show. We appreciate that very much. But it, so you thought that there was hype last year for Arch Manning going into to this season. I mean, now the hype that he's going to have going in next year, and now he's earned it. Now he's earned it. Last year it was like, well, you know, in spot duty, he did this, that, and the other. But to watch how this dude has just become the leader and commander of this team. And this is the ultimate Texas Longhorn right now, what this guy did today. And he totally sold out. He left it on the field. It had been real easy for him to just say, you know, okay, you know, I'm done in the third quarter. You know, he could have pulled himself out of the game. But with that, with all the attrition that Texas had today, the guys that made plays, I mean, so many different guys that stepped up. And that's what you were really hoping to see. And I'm glad that both Michigan and Texas, that they did. Because we've been talking about that all week, like you said. Who really gives a shit at this point? And I found myself in the second half to where it's like, dude, I'm fired up. I'm fired up for this. And I'm like, it's the Cheez-Its Bowl. It's the Citrus Bowl. Like, Zay, it really felt like, you know, I mean, maybe you get into the top 10 when it's all said and done and over with. But that's the other frustrating part, where I sat there and I looked at it and I started thinking about the season. It's like the best games that this team played all year, OU, Ohio State, Vandy, A&M, Michigan. And yet here you are, you know, on the outside looking in. 10 wins is a big deal to me, Zay. I know that right now it really doesn't mean shit, but I think that the way this thing turned around and this coaching staff, what's left of it, figured out a way to keep this thing moving forward is a pretty damn admirable task. in my opinion, at this point.
Yeah, yeah, and, you know, let's just keep it real. The offseason has been rough so far. Yeah. Like, you fired Pete Kwiatkowski, which I thought Pete Kwiatkowski did a solid job, but you kind of saw, even tonight, even though Pete Kwiatkowski wasn't there, Johnny Nansen taking over, calling the plays, linebackers coach, there were things that were left from Pete Kwiatkowski that you're like, okay, this is why Pete Kwiatkowski got fired, i.e., the play where, what, it's like 3rd and 17, late in the fourth quarter, Cade Phillips just had a big-time play, reading the screen, makes a big-time stop, loss of yards. Then all of a sudden, 3rd and 17, Cade Phillips, he's 17 yards back. He's like 20 yards back. Why are we that conservative? They throw it right at the first down line, 16-yard completion. It then turns into a first down by Bryce Underwood, which then translates into a touchdown. And you're like, bro, what are we doing here? And I'm sure Will Muschamp, wherever the hell he was, you know, they didn't show Will Muschamp. They kept showing Kyle Whittingham, new Michigan coach. He got to talk with the guys in the booth and everything. I don't know where Will Muschamp was, but yeah, Joe K, he understands what I'm talking about here. Will Muschamp's probably pulling his hair like that.
Oh, shit, man. Has to
stop. Shit like that just can't happen.
Nope.
And as my co-host Chip Brown says, this defense gave up some booty tonight. They did. But guys still made plays. Guys still showed promise. You know, Wardell Mack, he got an interception. He finally got an opportunity. I just mentioned Warren Roberson. He was hitting out there, boy. Warren Roberson, he made one of them hits, Roddy Lott type hits, and he kind of –
That dude want to get some game right there, the way that dude played tonight.
That dude was – which goes to this coaching staff. Why wasn't he playing earlier? Because I like Jalen Gilbo at nickel, but if Jalen Gilbo was playing on the outside corner, he doesn't bring much.
Right, right.
He doesn't make plays. He's one of those guys where you hope that he doesn't mess up. But Jalen Gilbo, it just wasn't it for him this year. I wish him the best. I love Jalen Gilbo at the star spot a year ago. I thought he was solid to go along with that crew with Michael Taft, Andrew Makuba, and John A. Barron. But putting him on the outside, nah, that ain't it. And Cade Phillips, Kobe Black, he went out early. But Cade Phillips and Warren Roberson, those guys got some juice, man. Those guys got some juice. And shout out to Ty Anthony Smith because, hey, you're auditioning right now. Will Muschamp, he's looking at you like, hey.
It's a clean slate, right? Right?
Clean slate. And it started tonight with added responsibility. Do we need to go to the portal, which they still do? Texas, though, this back is keeping the buck. Texas still needs to go to the portal to get a linebacker, but it's not as hectic as it was before this game if Ty Anthony Smith's going to play like that. Now, consistency has to be there with Ty Anthony Smith. He had some games where it was very roller coastery, but you saw just the talent and the plays that he made tonight. That interception going out of bounds, Double R, that's special stuff. No,
yep.
That's special stuff right there. That's just being able to break on the ball. And you're talking about a guy that came in light in the ass. I think he was only a $185. Now he's around 220. So he's doing everything in the weight room. He's doing everything Torrey Becton has asked of him. And now Anthony Hill's gone to the draft. Leonga LaFalle wanted more money. Steve Sarkisian and everybody said, we can't give you that. Leonga LaFalle said, I'm gone. Ty Anthony Smith said, it's my turn.
That's it.
Prove to Will Muschamp that I'm your guy.
Yeah. He brought it today. He brought it today.
Appreciate you, Texas. Yeah. Texas Mel. How do you say that? Appreciate you,
Mel.
Text Mel. Appreciate you, dog. Appreciate it. Yeah. Love.
And Jay, you know, the thing about it was, like, when you're talking right there about that Roberson play. I mean, the play at the pylon. I'm sorry, that was a fucking fumble. I don't care. I mean, when you slow that thing down and you watch it over and over and over, and again, I know that, you know, it counted as a touchdown. That play right there by Roberson. That's a dude that says, I'm going to fucking contribute to this defense next year. And that play in and of itself, I mean, the play he made at the line of scrimmage and then coming all the way down to force the fumble, which it was, That was massive. And you had these dudes making these plays, and you look at Middleton, Cade Phillips, these guys that were all over the ball today. And you can say, well, that's Michigan. And you can't go back to Michigan didn't give a shit, because they did.
They did. Oh, I can tell they're ready to fight after every play. And come on, man. And this was an issue all year long. 12 penalties, 103 yards. I get it. It's the last game of the year. And, you know, they were wilding. Like, there was a play where Harold Canoe, I think it was after the first Tyanny Smith interception. Yeah. Harold Canoe just hit Bryce Young for no reason. Bro, you know better than that. Yeah. I get it. You came from Ohio State, and you've never beat Michigan in your life. And this was your first time beating Michigan, Harold Canoe. So you're still a Buckeye at heart. You won a national championship with them. So I get the added motivation there, but also – that the whole Texas team was wilding tonight, and the penalties. This was one of the worst penalty teams in the nation, this 2025 Texas team. Even with 10 wins, this team's one of the worst. They're in the hundreds when it comes to penalties. That can't happen next year. That just can't happen. You got to tighten that up. You got to have guys, and that goes to the coaching staff. The coaching staff, y'all got to do a better job, which is why decisions were made. Bikukowski, we appreciate you, but hey, the decision had to be made. Dwayne Aquino, we appreciate you, but hey, the decision had to be made. Chad Scott, appreciate you, bro. 1 year came in. Sorry, decision had to be made. Jabbar Jalouk came in. People are feeling Jabbar Jalouk and what he's doing thus far. Shout out to Christian Clark. 20 carries, a buck
ran the ball.
Five.
Yep.
Hey, one touchdown. You'll take that. You'll take that.
Yeah. Dude, he's 105.
He's auditioning too. Same thing with Tyanny Smith. And you got to prove to Jabbar Jalouk that, yeah, we want Jaden Ball and all that stuff. And I'm sure Jaden Ball's going out there getting wine and dine and, you know, getting fed the finest cheeses by all these universities, as he should. The dude could play. But if I'm Christian Clark, now that Contravion Weisner's gone, here we go. It's your turn.
Yep.
Why not you? CJ Baxter gone too. Why not you? And I thought he put on a solid performance today with how he ran the ball and just the tough running that he provided. Shout out to Christian Clark.
And that's where we go back to Zay, like we've been like you mentioned a while ago. It's like, okay, as the season has gone, we talked about, okay, when is Christian Clark going to get his chance? Because, I mean, look, CJ Baxter, I love that dude. He's a good dude. I mean, I'm going to miss that dude being in the program. But we knew that he was a little beat up. He's kind of a shell of himself. And like we've talked about so many times on this network, it's like, it's not when or if something's going to happen to him. You couldn't put your eggs in that basket. Why did Christian Clark not have the opportunities before? And again, I mean, that regime has changed at this point, but Christian Clark came out today and he said, look, if I need to be 1B, or if I need to be even number two, I'm auditioning for that job today, and I'm going to show you right now what I can freaking do. Yeah. And he did. He absolutely did. I mean, what Arch did on the ground, the 155 yards, I mean, that's great. I don't want to see that every week. I don't want to be reliant on that.
No. Texas fans do not look at that and be like, that's what we're getting next year every game.
That's not your option.
Hell no.
No. You look at the other shit that he did. You look at the passes. Zay, the coolest part about today was watching that dude when he's sitting back in the pocket and they're up in those aerial shots and all that, and you're watching that dude just read the defense when he's looking over here and he throws that son of a bitch the other way. Right. And it's like, okay, that's the progression that you've been waiting for this guy. And, you know, offensive line, yeah, you got to work on that. But that was a funny thing that Wags and I were talking about during the week, where it's like, of all the problems that Texas has had this year, that was the one thing where you go in this week and it's like, well, shit, the offensive line is intact. So you did have that. So you did have that, but it
yeah,
it, and we, it was we know exciting, you even though it was the Cheez-Its Bowl.
Right, and we know you got to clean that up. You know, Trevor Goosby was terrific. Like, he's been all year long. He was by far the best offensive lineman by a long shot this season. Maybe you could say Brandon Baker was second, which he had his moments where played some good football and then some struggle moments. Overall, I thought DJ Campbell underachieved this season, which hey, you come in as a five-star player, you come in rated higher than Kelvin Banks, who had a terrific rookie year for the New Orleans Saints. I expect and put a lot of stock into DJ Campbell, and he was good, but he could have been better. His sophomore year might have been his best year when he was alongside Christian Jones, and Christian Jones was so smart at that position, he could help DJ Campbell out a ton. You know, Cam Williams didn't do that for him last year, and Brandon Baker, you know, it was good, but also just DJ Campbell as a senior, he expected more from him. He was solid, but again, expected more from him. But yeah, the offensive line, you got to go find guys. You got to go find guys. Like next year's schedule, you play 8 straight SEC games. 9-team schedule, nine SEC season schedule. Ohio State's still there. Like, it's going to be rough next year. But I like what Dadgunit, whatever my man's name is here, Arch Manning, Gen Z, John Elway. Shout out to John Elway. That documentary on Netflix is fire. Go check that out. But, yeah, he's just Arch's ability to go through his progressions now and just slow the game down. And that's how it's supposed to go. Like, every quarterback that's had success playing this beautiful game of football that we love, it takes time to figure things out. And the more reps you get, and the more coverages you see, you're going to get better and you're going to be able to identify that before the ball's even snapped. So when he was taking off running and stuff like that, I'm sure next year he's going to be doing a lot more sliding because he knows he has to. I appreciate what KJ Lacy's doing, but I ain't trying to see him at all next year. I'm just keeping up. Yeah. KJ Lacy, I'm sorry. I'm sure you want to play, bro, but if you're coming back, you're coming back and you're on that development mode. You ain't nobody trying to see you on the field next year, KJ Lacy. I could speak for all Texas fans on that. Nobody. So, Arch, you got to be smart. And all those shots that you took tonight, I get it. You do that because it's the last game of the year. You got 8 months to get healthy. I'm with that. And you saw how aggressive Sark's play calling was for those design runs for Arch Manning. You know, you're not going to see that as much next year. And I think, Rodney, at times you had to do that with Arch this season because the wide receivers and the offensive line, it was just a struggle there. And now let's segue to the wide receivers a little bit, because even before Ryan Wingo got hurt, you still saw the drops. He had some big catches. Emmett Moseley, you could rely on him, but he got hurt in this game. Mm-hmm. So I hate to put the injury bug on guys or say guys are injury prone. I think sometimes that could be unfair. But also, when guys have history of injuries, you can't help but pay attention. And Emmett Moseley, who knows what would have been if he were healthy in the
first game. He missed five games. He missed 5 games before he even became involved. Yeah.
Yeah, so he's out here on the boot. I didn't even see him get hurt. Parker Livingston dropping passes that he should be catching. He has to get in the weight room. And DeAndre Moore is gone. So Daylon McCutcheon didn't look good today.
No.
He was getting blown up. He was dropping passes. He didn't look good. Kalik Lockett didn't get much. But, hey, he made it count.
He got one.
Yeah, he got one. He made it count. That was a big-time catch by him. Incredible throw by Arch, man. For him to be, like, hurt and bleeding and kind of limping off the field after that touchdown throw, for him to put it on the money the way he did, I can't say enough about that dude's toughness. Like, that's what stood out the most to me this season. He got rocked all year long, didn't miss a rep of practice, started in every game, and even though the offensive line made life rough for him, in a way, I think it made him better, but also he took a brutal beating this season. So that's a huge reason why this offensive line, you got to go find those guys in the portal, and if you have to spend a pretty penny on them, so be it.
Yeah, it really is with Arch. And again, you do have to solidify that wide receiver thing. I mean, you've got to get that figured out, because it really is. When a guy's always hurt, that's the label. It's not just a label. That's something that's really real. You're always hurt. But the thing with Arch, I mean, you go back and you look at even the worst games that Texas had this year, notably Florida and Georgia. I mean, those were games. I mean, the Georgia game, I mean, it was Arch that kept Texas in that 14-10 thing that we kept talking about. I mean, it was solidly Arch Manning that did that. And like the Florida thing, and I know that he was kind of, maybe Steve Sarkisian did calling this offense. Maybe he was conservative, trying to protect him a little bit to get him acclimated with what was going on. But you look at that progression, you know, the offensive line was obviously a problem. The wide receiver room, like we talk about Emmett Moseley, it took him 5 games to become a part of that. Ryan Wingo couldn't, he was butterfingers for a lot of that. And you got to go and solve that. And I see Cam's name popping up right there. You're going to see a lot of Cam. You're going to see a lot of Jaden Baugh. But you know what? You can't spend all your money on that, because look, Trevor Goosby, that is huge. What's he going to do? I mean, Jake Indries. I mean, I didn't want him to have a good game today, Zay, for crying out loud.
Dude, what, Jack
I wanted him to fucking suck. Yeah. I'm like, he scores, Zay, and I'm like, shit.
Yeah. Jack Indries is in an interesting situation because, yes, he's solid, and I don't think he's good enough to go to the NFL right now. I mean, he might get drafted, but it's probably going to be after the 5th round.
Absolutely.
I don't know if that's worth it. You might as well come back and make some more NIL money. But also, we know that tight end room is pretty heavy in there. You know, mm-hmm. Nick Townsend, Amari Winston, who I didn't see much, Spencer Shannon. So there's a lot of guys that are going to be fighting for playing time this upcoming season. And Steve Sarkisian and Jeff Banks, they're going to have some decisions to make. Obviously, Jack Indries is your tight end one still if he were to come back. But does he want to deal with all the rotations that the tight ends have gone through? Or does he want to go to a school where he's going to be on the field 80% of the time? That's going to be an interesting exit meeting for Steve Sarkisian and Jack Indries when that time comes. But, yeah, the Texas Longhorns end the season with 10 wins. They go 10-3 and beat the Michigan Wolverines 41-27 in the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl. Let's get to some of these score updates.
Hey, right. Isn't it weird, though? So we're talking about a 10-3 year. 10 wins, 3 losses, and we're disappointed. Isn't that crazy?
I mean, that's Texas, though. That's Texas. I'm sure Chris Del Conte and Texas fans wouldn't have it any other way. Like, and sure, there's a lot of things to be proud of, and you want to take that momentum and be positive, especially when you go to these parents' rooms, when you have to recruit these guys. But also, yeah, like, we're about to watch Miami and Ohio State play for a chance to play in the national championship game. Now Texas, they're in the offseason with the portal opening up in a couple of days. Yeah. You know, it's a different feeling. It's a different feeling.
It really is.
But let's get to a couple of these scoreboard updates brought to you by GoBundance. Texas football built on legends, from Daryl K. Royal setting the standard to Mac Brown. But shout out Mac Brown retweeting us at Texas Sports.
How about that?
That's love. Appreciate you, Mac. But yeah, a lot of legends from Texas, like Vince Young, Colt McCoy. Longhorn Way is more than talent. It's about discipline, brotherhood, and rising to the occasion. And that same spirit is what GoBundance is behind, a community of high achieving men, business professionals, investors, and leaders that push each other not only to win, you know, with GoBundance, but in life. And hey, who could beat that? So if you want to live like a champion, then GoBundance is your team. Go join the tribe today at www.gobundance.com/TSU. That's www.gobundance.com/TSU. A couple of scoreboard updates today. The Iowa Hawkeyes beat
that?
Up on Diego Pavia and Vanderbilt in the Quest Bowl, 34-27. Yeah, Diego been partying ever since the season ended and the Heisman came around. Diego hadn't been focused on football. He's been partying.
Yeah.
He's been living off of that Heisman finalist. I feel him. I feel him. They weren't worried about this game. Shout out to Iowa.
Yeah, and, you know. Zay, it's hard to play football when you're hungover like that.
It's tough. You know, I heard it's tough. I couldn't say personally. I've never been in that situation, but I heard.
Well, I haven't either. But I would assume that I did a 5K last Saturday, and I was hungover, and that was a bitch.
Oh, man.
So I can't imagine playing football, getting hit in the head.
Yeah.
Vanderbilt acting like they've been there before. You know, they're an institution. Yeah.
Yeah, they got their 10 wins and they said they good. And the Vegas Bowl, Utah beats up on Nebraska, even without their coach, who is off to Michigan, Kyle Whittingham. Duke beats Arizona State in the Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl. That's a big game there. I saw folks jumping in the cereal and all that stuff, which that's the best part about these bowl games. Like, that's what's made these bowl games fun, even though the college football playoff has clearly taken away the aura of these bowl games that we grew up loving. Fact that, like, the Cheez-It Bowl and having the Cheez-Its poured on Steve Sarkisian after the game, or Kalani Sitake completely shoving the full Pop-Tart in his mouth in the Pop-Tart Bowl, or the Tony the Tiger Bowl, like, the ads that go along with these bits for the bowl games, it makes it fun. I can't even lie. They do a really good job with that.
Yeah. It seemed like to me, I kept waiting. You know, I know there were some good games because some of the bowl games were good. I mean, like the UNT game. I mean, that was, if you're a football fan and you want to watch football, I mean, that was good the way that kind of worked out. But it was like, you know, a couple of days ago, that's when they really kind of started to matter a little bit more. Like to me, when the Alamo Bowl was on, I'm like, okay, that's somewhat important. I'm glad we're not doing live shit in San Antonio right now, because we've done that in the past. I'd rather be at home than be in San Antonio.
That's the best part about going to the SEC. If Texas doesn't make one of these college football playoffs, we don't have to go to San Antonio. I love San Antonio. I do. But I don't want to go to the Alamo Bowl. I'm so over that bowl. Saw TCU beat up on USC in it yesterday. Like, I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah, so I love San Antonio for basketball.
All right, Double R, let's get to the offensive player of the game, brought to you by Clean Cause. Our friends at Clean Cause have been on a mission to energize lives with a purpose, crafting refreshing, better for you sparkling herbal mate and different beverages that deliver a clean caffeine boost. And it packs the boost without the crash, because some of these energy drinks out there, man, you take one, you feel great, and then 2 o'clock comes around and you're ready to hit the hay. Clean Cause, you don't have to worry about that. And beyond energy, their brand is built on impact. 50% of the profits fund addiction and recovery housing scholarships, giving every sip a deeper purpose. They've already donated over $3.8 million as a community, and they're just getting started. And it's quite tasty too. So go try the strawberry lemonade, zero calories and zero sugar. The packaging is different and new, so it pops at you. And you can get Clean Cause anywhere, your local grocery stores, convenience stores around town, or you could go online at cleancause.com. Double R, I feel like this is pretty easy today. We've been doing this all year long, and sometimes it's been rough. If y'all been for the Texas Sports Unfiltered post-game show, Double R's been here 70-some percent of the time. Patrick Davis has jumped on. Wags has jumped on. There have been times where you're just scratching and clawing trying to find an offensive player of the game. And when it's easy like it is today, that's how you know it was a good game.
Man, there's been times this year, to where it's been like, okay, the ball boy, that was the offensive player of the year. That one time that he took the ball out there and set it down was incredible. Man, how do you not love, and it's a culmination of just the entire year of Arch Manning. The expectations were out of control. I mean, you can't place this pressure on this dude. I don't care if his last name is Manning, Brady, Montana, offspring of any of those people. You can't place those expectations on this guy. But to watch the way that he has battled through adversity with people saying, Zay, they said this dude is the biggest bust ever. Did you watch that game today? That didn't look like the biggest bust ever to me. I mean, that looks like a dude that has elevated himself into being one of the best players in the country. And now all of the hype is real. And that's where, well, we'll save that for the final word. But watching Arch Manning today, obviously player of the game, it's been a real joy to, at times, very sad, because it's you see him, he had that deer in the headlights look that you talked about. At times he didn't have any help. He didn't have a running game. He had guys that couldn't catch the ball. And yet still he persevered. And, you know, you compare him to all the different quarterbacks in the rich quarterback history of Texas football. Right now, this dude is on a path where he's – look at his stats this year when he's a bust. Look at those stats.
Yeah.
Arch Manning, dude, all the way.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Ring that shit up on that one. Which, ring it up here with No, too, because, No, man, we appreciate you all year long. You're always looking out for us, man, and just – putting on for TSU. It's all love, man. Happy New Year, brother. But I'm right there with you, Double R. Arch Manning, I just, for what he has to go through with that last name, nobody in sports history, not named LeBron James, has ever dealt with anything like that. And it was rough. A lot of it wasn't all his fault, from the offensive line, Kyle Flood, to the wide receiver room, to Steve Sarkisian and the play calling. Like, it was a lot. And again, Arch had his moments too. The mechanics sometimes out of whack, the sidearm, weird, you know, just not reading the field, making good decisions.
But he owned that, Zay. That's right. The other part. He owned all that shit.
Absolutely. Yeah, he owned it. He never threw anybody under the bus. He always blamed himself for the losses, and he just kept his head down and got better. And he has a fire to him, man, that's infectious. You know what I'm saying? Like, even after the 60-yard run, in which he was kind of hobbling in the end zone, like, once he got to the 10, you know, he slowed down and he was kind of hobbling then, because I think that adrenaline really wore down then. But he felt that just still passion to look in the crowd and get the crowd up, and he's high-fiving his teammates and he's bleeding all over, and it's like, shit, dude, you ain't got DeAndre Moore, you ain't got Ketrevion Wisner, Emmitt Moseley and Ryan Wingo, like, they're out. So for him to just put the team on his back, and the game got chippy. Like, both teams were fighting. The game got really chippy. I thought the refs did a pretty shitty job on trying to control it. But Arch Manning, yeah, he deserves all the hype. Didn't deserve it and before the season started here in 2025. But before the season starts in 2026, he deserves all the hype that he's going to get. And I've been impressed. Okay, all right. So am I getting my man's name wrong?
We got you, Noe. Yeah.
Noe, okay. My bad, dog. We talking about a Houston Tillerson degree that I got. So sometimes a brother can be a little slow, Noe. So, you know what I'm saying? That's on me. Don't take the money back just because I fucked up. Appreciate you.
No. It's all good. No. Inahosa is a good man.
I can't right roll there. My R's like
that. There it is right there. Yeah. There it is right there. See, that's where everything is fixed. Yeah. But here's the other thing with Arch Manning to me that is, you know, with Peyton Manning and even with Eli, you know, great quarterbacks, everything that they've done, goofy. You know, they kind of got that goofy side. They've always been that way. I mean, they're making all these commercials and doing all that shit that they do right now. Arch Manning is a grinder. You see him kind of, you know, on the sideline a little bit, but that dude's got that damn Sylvester Stallone eye of the tiger thing, where those other guys are kind of doing all that goofy shit and making stupid faces. Arch don't do that. Arch is like, you know, I hear BK talking about our man Ryan Hurricane Heck, the junkyard dog. Arch Manning's a junkyard dog when it comes down to it, my brother.
Yeah. He's definitely has more swag than the uncles. It's not even close. But also what he has from them is a sense of humor to where you let a lot of stuff that should get to any normal human being, you let it roll off your back. Yep. And it doesn't faze you because you understand there's more to life than football, even though you take football hella seriously and you're the part of the first family of football. That they still keep things in perspective. Yeah. And you see that with their sense of humor and all of their commercials and whatnot. Yeah. And Arch has that. And I think it's a really good balance.
I think a lot of that, Zay, comes from Archie. Because, I mean, when folks talk about Archie Manning, I mean, remember, he played for the Saints for all those years.
Yeah, rough. And,
God.
Yeah.
That. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. But yeah, Arch Manning all the way. Gotta Arch be.
Manning, clean calls, offensive player of the game. Now let's get to the defensive player of the game, brought to you by Kenfield Golf Cars. If you're in the market for a new or pre-owned golf cart, we got great news for you. Our friends at Kenfield Golf Cars, right around the corner. Founded in 1979, they have an unparalleled selection of new and used golf carts. So, hey, whatever you want, they got. You want to bring in your old golf cart and get it just decked out with all the gets and gadgets and whatnot, they will do that for you too. Or if you want to start from scratch and build a brand spanking new golf cart, they will do that for you also. No job is too big. No job is too small at Kenfield Golf Cars. So if you want to check out their website, you should do so at KenfieldGolfCars.com or give them a call at 512-258-8515 and tell them Texas Sports Unfiltered sent you. Double R, defensive player of the game, brought to you by Kenfield Golf Cars.
Right on. Before I go to that, I do want to mention, because this is one thing that I picked on early in the year about Arch sitting with himself. He's not doing that quite as much anymore. If you watch him now, he goes to the sideline with his boys. I mean, he goes and he grabs a tablet. If you look, the Ohio State game, I remember in postgame, Zay, that I specifically said, that dude's not looking at plays. That dude's not over with his guys. And that changed drastically, in my opinion. So, yeah. Anyway.
I think that's a tough balance that you have to have, especially depending on the play, which, Jay, appreciate you, man. It's all love, man, as always.
Patrick.
That's real. That is real right there. But I feel like each guy is different, you know, and it depends on the coaching staff and whatnot. Like some coaches, they need you to go look at that tablet.
Yeah.
And you got to go focus on that first. And you would hope that you have offensive leaders, which are gone right now, DeAndre Moore, Contravion Weisner. Like besides Arch Manning on that offense, Trevor Goosby's probably your next leader there. But you would hope that those guys are the ones talking and stuff. And then once halftime comes around and just at different points in the game, I see it too. Arch Manning, he's talking to his guys. But when you catch ESPN throwing that B-roll on him, he is sitting by himself.
He is.
But I also think, like, that's tablet time. He's with the quarterbacks. They're talking about, you know, the offense and just different things that go with that. But, yeah, I feel you. And that's going to come. He's going to get more comfortable with that, too. I think here in this second year as a starter coming up in 2026. But defensive player of the game.
Dude, and this has been my player of the game a couple of different times in postgame, but today you said it a while ago, Zay, that this dude, with everything, the attrition, everything that happened when the linebackers were kind of dissipating and people were leaving, this is wide open for Ty Smith to go in there and solidify himself, and boy, did that guy do that today. I mean, you knew that this guy, he was one of the ones that I talked about during the week on Chaos Theory, towards like, who's going to be thrust into something that may not be ready for it? And I think a lot of our listeners and viewers were saying Ty Anthony Smith. And I'm like, no, that dude's ready. That dude's been making plays all year. He just hasn't had to make them all the time because his time was, you know, shared and his time was situational and all the different things. That dude showed up today. You looked all over the field, two interceptions, making plays. And again, these guys auditioning for a job with Coach Boom, because it's going to be a brand new regime next year. I don't know where Will Muschamp was today, but there was probably four or five different guys that he better have fucking written their name down in pen, because those guys are ready to make contributions right now. Zay, Ty Anthony Smith all the way. That dude was amazing this afternoon.
Yeah, and those guys, probably Warren Roberson, Cade Phillips, Elijah, Bo Barnes, Alex January, clearly Colin Simmons, but back-to-back. You know, same, we're picking the same person here on these player of the games, double R. Like, I'm with Ty Anthony Smith all the way. That guy, just with everything that's gone down at that position, that's a lot of pressure, you know. And as you said, he's auditioning to impress his new defensive coordinator, which Steve Sarkisian called the new defensive head coach, with Coach Boom, Will Muschamp coming back to the 40 Acres. And Ty Anthony Smith, He led the team in tackles today, and then he had two big-time interceptions. And I still can't just get out of my mind how ridiculous that second one was. Dude. You know, to be flying out of bounds, to track the ball like that. And, you know, Bryce Underwood, he's good, but he's still a freshman. And he showed that today with some of those ill-advised throws. But you still got to make plays when quarterbacks give you chances like that. And 26, he made plays tonight. So now, again, no Ant Hill. Off to the NFL. Leonga LaFalle said, y'all need to pay me my money. Texas couldn't do it. He's off to the next place. Tyden Smith, here you go. I'm not saying the keys are going to be handed to him, but that was a good audition to let this coaching staff know, hey, we can rely on this guy. And even though we got to find some other guys in the portal, this guy is still going to get all the reps that he wants because in Muschamp's defense, he's only going to get that much better. And just a year in the system, year in winter workouts, getting stronger, faster, all the above that comes with guys just growing and aging in the program. I think Tyathy Smith's really going to benefit from that. So shout out to him. Offseason, big time game.
It seems like to me, Zay, the whole thing about it was on the defensive side today, what we did figure out was, especially with all the folks that weren't playing, you know, whether it was an opt-out or going to the draft and it really was. I mean, we know all the names and they posted it there, and it was kind of different when I saw it on TV where it's like, damn, that's a whole lot of what made this defense really, really good when it was at its prime. But you look at the guys that job audition thing that we talk about, I mean, we saw it with Middleton and Phillips and these guys and Tyanthony Smith, guys that really went out there and said, okay, here's the foundation where you're going to start, Will Muschamp. So, boom, I want to have these spots, and you start building around us and make this better. And with the progression that we've seen on the offensive side, I mean, you can't help but be optimistic. Here we go again. We're going down that same road again. But I think it's just a little more deserved, I think, right now with everything that we've been through this team has been through at this point.
Yeah. And remember what Steve Sarkisian said after the press conference when Pete Kwiatkowski was fired. A big reason why Pete Kwiatkowski, well, what I got from what Sark said, big reason why Muschamp's in and Pete Kwiatkowski's out is now Sark doesn't have to keep the headset on for the defense and worry about that. He could put all his energy on the offense. If he has to say something to Arch Manning, he could do that. He can focus on what he does best, and that's calling the plays for the offense. And Will Muschamp has so much, you know, earned responsibility that Sark ain't even going to worry about that like he did with Pete Kwiatkowski. So I expect 40 points a game. Like we saw tonight. Maybe this was the first time Sark was like, you know what, screw it. I ain't even worried about the defense at all.
It better be, right? Because apparently that was a problem.
That was a problem. He said that. He said that.
He said that.
So that's something that's going to stay on my mind all off season. That's something that's going to stay on my mind all season. Sark, this is what you wanted. You had to babysit Pete Kwiatkowski. You didn't like that. Babysitting wasn't fun. The defense still, at times, was mediocre. Now with Will Muschamp, Coach Boom, you ain't got to babysit no more. That dude knows what he's doing. He knows SEC football. You saw his time at LSU. You saw his time in Florida, South Carolina. He knows SEC football. Hell yeah. All right. I'm hyped, Robbie. That game got me hyped. I'm really excited for 2026. Now, it's going to be a long 8 months. But damn, man, I love the way these guys finish. I really respect it.
Me too. And look, I'm glad that Will Muschamp is back. And I think it's a great move. I really do think it is. And everything we're talking about with hey, look, man, I like PK. I think PK did a great job. I would have gone and got an offensive coordinator first or a play caller. I think that I would have done that first. But look, I'm not Steve Sarkisian, obviously. I'm a lot broker than he is. But that really is. It's all on you, buddy. When you go out and if you go out and score 10 points against Texas State,
they better not score 10 points against Texas State. All right, Double R, let's get to the offensive play of the game brought to you by Paul's Motor Works. Paul's Motor Works, they've been providing complete foreign and domestic automotive repairs since 2000. 2000. 26 years almost, starting tomorrow, and they specialize in BMWs, Benzes, Porsches, Volkswagens, Mini Coupes, and plenty more. And actually, it doesn't matter what kind of car, make, or model you have, they will fix any repair that you need. They got oil changes, car, tire rotations, and again, major repairs too. So trust guys that are just legit out here. There's so many sleazy car guys out here. Paul and his team, they are none of that. Trust me, if you need a good mechanic, Paul's Motorworks, they got them. So just go see Paul and the team right off of 2222 and 620. And if you need more info, go online at pmwaustin.com. The offensive play of the game by Paul's Motorworks. Double R, who you got?
That's right. Paul Cook, the man right there. You want a sleazy mechanic? Bring your car to my house. I'll change your oil. I'll change your oil.
Yeah. I'll change your oil. I know you roll off. What the hell is that?
Give me 150. I'll change that oil for you. And I'll do it in 5 minutes. And I'm going – the offensive play of the game for me was and simply because kind of the magnitude of the game, you know, you weren't playing for national championships and so forth. I mean, the game was important. And again, it's a great win. It's a great way to end the season, man. But that fourth down play with the, with injuries going under center and the snap between the legs, dude, I know that's not the most impactful offensive play of the game. There were much, you know, Arch on the fourth down play later in the game in the second half. That was probably more impactful. But to me, that was pretty swift right there.
We've
man.
Seen that before.
Yeah.
I don't know when he did it, but y'all going to have to remind me.
I thought we'd seen that before.
We've seen that before. I don't know which game it was. But we've seen something of that nature before, which, yeah, that's Steve Sarkisian, like, being creative. That was a good play right there. For me, I would have to say the throw, second and 13, 30 yards to Kalik Lockett, especially after the fourth and two where Arch runs for the first down and gets hammered. That's where he really got nicked up. And I think that's where he got that bruise, because he was in the air and my man just crashed on him hard. And yeah, he was kind of limping on that play. Yeah. So they gave it to Christian Clark a couple of times after. Christian Clark ran for the first down. The next play didn't run for much. The false start came. And then Arch throws a pretty pass down the sideline to Kalik Lockett. Ooh, yo, Kalik Lockett, that one touchdown. Kalik Lockett earned six figures on that one touchdown this season.
Yep.
Kalik. Yep. I don't know what he got, but that was what's rumored with Kalik Lockett and Jamie French and all those receivers that came in this year that didn't play at all. Like, we did not see much of Kalik Lockett. I rarely saw Jamie French. Didn't see him at all today, but hey, Kalik Lockett. I'd love to have one touchdown for six figures, double R. That sounds like a good gig to me, but I can't knock Kalik Lockett. Like, all he's doing is trying to crack the lineup. But hey, when the opportunity's there, as we've mentioned, Emmett Mosley goes down with a foot injury. Ryan Wingo gets nicked up in this Cheez-It Citrus Bowl game. DeAndre Moore goes on and enters the transfer portal. Somebody got to catch a ball. And Kalik Lockett said, hey, call on me. I'm ready. I want to be a part of the mix next year in 2026. And that's good audition tape to me. So that was a pass from Arch, man, just in the breadbasket after just being nicked up and limping off the field, bloodied up. That's a big-time throw, and that just shows how tough he really is. That's my offensive play of the game, brought to you by Paul's Motorworks.
And I totally get what you're saying right there, because that was where I caught myself again thinking so many different emotions during this game, to where it's like these guys are making plays and I'm like, they've been on this team all year, right? I mean these guys were available, right? Why not you know try these different things? But I get it. I mean, I totally understand that in this day and age of college football that, you know, there's negotiations that go on and maybe there's percentage of plays that have to be whatever, but I'm like, these guys have been here all year. And essentially, it's, I guess, what, one game that kept you out of the college football playoff. It's like, could you have not tried this little wrinkle at some point? And maybe your path would be different. But, I mean, that doesn't matter now. I mean, it doesn't matter. But I found myself thinking that. This dude's been here all year.
Right. Oh, I'm the same way. Yeah. All right, let's get to the defensive play of the game brought to you by Moonshine Patio Bar and Grill. Moonshine Patio Bar and Grill is a place that takes you back to a simpler time. Comfortable, familiar, relaxed, easygoing. Moonshine greets guests like family, serving up a great cooking experience with an innovative take on classic American comfort food. Moonshine's menu satisfies even the biggest city taste. They have fantastic dinners, and they have an awesome weekend brunch. Chicken and waffles go crazy. Shrimp and grits, absolutely amazing. And you can eat both at two of their locations, downtown and at Avery Ranch. Downtown, the valet parking will take care of you. And also, they got a huge parking lot at the Avery Ranch location. So, hey, no excuses to go to Moonshine Patio Bar and Grill. Go to moonshinegrill.com for more information or to make a reservation. Double R, your defensive player in the game, brought to you by Moonshine Patio Bar and Grill.
Zay, I mentioned it a while ago. It's a play that's going to count in the scorebooks as a touchdown for Michigan. But the Warren Roberson play on the fumble, that was a fumble. One of many plays, I think, that was misofficiated today. My God, that third quarter, how long did that take?
Penalties were ridiculous in this game. Going to reviews, it was a lot. It was a lot.
A little too much, but Roberson, just so many different plays that he made. He was all over the field, like we talk about. This is a guy that to try to find his way into some sort of the scheme that's going to be happening with a new system that's going to be coming in with a very hyped and a lot of pressure into this situation. If you want to talk about a guy that was writing his resume today, it seriously was Warren Roberson. And that play in and of itself, because it wasn't just the play that he made at the pylon, what initially wound up being a touchdown. It was, like I said, the full play across the line of scrimmage, getting over there to make the play. Just huge. I thought that really showed a lot of grit and determination from that dude. And like I said, ultimately it's going to be a touchdown. It's probably not going to be your play of the game, but that's one of the ones that just sticks in my head looking at this game from a totally different standpoint. Because like I said, it just came down to two teams that were wanting to win, that really did want to win. And that ultimately to me was a play that, okay, that's a guy that really wants to get out there and win the game for his team.
Yeah, Warren Roberson, he was on the all over the field.
He was.
You saw
he knocked himself out.
Yo, that hit was so vicious, man. That was the hardest hit of the year.
Dude, that was.
I can't think of a hit that was harder than that from anybody on Texas. Like, let me know. Like, y'all in the comments section, y'all hit us up on the Coda text line, 512-222-9328. Let me know. Because that hit by Warren Roberson, man. Dude, that was like
that was makes like your eyes Hall. Water when you see that shit.
Well, you remember in Scary Movie, the first one where Regina Hall, the sister, was watching the movie and she jumped for everybody. She goes, ah! Yep. Like that was one of those ones where I jumped. I was like, shit, man. And I can't believe he got up and kept playing.
I know.
Like the fact that he wasn't in the tent, the fact that his eyes weren't glazy or nothing, like. I hope he's all right. I hope they really cleared him, because I just don't know how he was cleared with how hard he hit homeboy and the way he looked after the hit, where he just kind of like laid on him. Like that was rough, man. But I love it. I'm sure Will Muschamp loves it too.
Exactly. Like, and that tight end, I mean, that dude gets up and he's like, I mean, he looked like me after a long night at the Round Rock Tavern.
That's my defensive play of the game. I don't even know why I'm bullshitting. I don't even know why I are. I had something else, and then you had me going with Warren Roberson, and I thought to myself, that's the hardest hit of the year.
That
hit right is there. Crazy, man. I love that stuff, because we don't see that no more, Double R. You can't.
No.
You know, if you touch these guys, it's a flag. And homeboy that was in wherever the four-letter network headquarters was, that the ref reviews – he said that should have been targeted, but hey, they ain't call it. So
let he him led go. With the shoulder, man. He led with the shoulder. He yeah. just happened to hit with his head.
Yeah, let him roll. Like, I miss that stuff, man. I grew up on them. John Lynch, Brian Dawkins, you know what I'm saying? Ronnie Lott days. I grew up. That's what it's all about. And they've taken that away from me.
Yeah, yeah, like Jack Tatum paralyzing people. It's like, you know, you don't want to see anybody. You don't want to see anybody paralyzed, but it's like, damn,
right,
that's a good hit.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I know. I'm probably going down under, but hey, look, that's where I was raised, man. That's where I fell in love with the game, man. I get it. I want these guys to be able to walk at 62. I want these guys to have beautiful eyes. Football's only a little smidget amount of time of what your life could really be. So I understand what, you know, the NFL and college football, the actions that they've taken on safety, they are the right ones. But, man, if you could make those type of hits within the rules, let me see more of that. Let me see more of that, Warren Roberson. You earned a lot of my respect today, and he's one of those players that – Longhorn fans should be really excited about here in 2026.
Yeah, man, that pop on TV, especially with the Tom McKay system like this, it's like, damn. I mean, my dogs woke up. I think they thought the fireworks started. They're like, damn.
that was a big time hit. He is Roddy Rodriguez. I am Zay Collier. The Texas Longhorns go 10-3 to end the 2025 season, beating the Michigan Wolverines in the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl 41-27. Let's get to the final word brought to you by Sue Patrick for the best selection of Texas Longhorn gear that you can find. Go see our friends at Sue Patrick, located off of 5222 and Burnett Road. Go online, suepatrick.com, to see all the gear that they got online. Also, if you spend over $59 at Sue Patrick, you get free shipping. Can't beat that. They got polos, Arch Manning jerseys. It's getting cold. They got the winter stuff, jackets. When summer comes around, they got the grilling accessories. They got the golf balls, man. They got everything. Anything you could possibly find and want, they got it at Suit Patrick. They are going to fill whatever desire that you have when it comes to any type of Texas feeling. Suit Patrick, they got you covered. So go see our friends at Suit Patrick and get right. Double R, the last final word of the season, my friend. Take it away.
Man, after it's all said and done, after those crazy expectations, still a 10-win season and three losses. And again, we were hoping for one loss, and we were hoping to be playing tonight or tomorrow in the college football playoff, you know, for Texas fans. But I think, look, all in all, after a year that was very tumultuous in the sense of, you know, we didn't understand the offensive line situation. We didn't understand that people, we didn't secondary. I mean, Dwayne Aquina coming in and coaching, there were a lot of things that were supposed to work out well that they just didn't fall in line. And I think the bottom line, the Stone Cold Steve Austin bottom line, is the expectations were just a little bit too high for this group. And you have a quarterback that has finally grown into that mold, that is ready to take that next step. Yeah, man, I know there's a lot of questions to be answered. I know that this running back room, is it going to be Haw? Look, Caleb Hawkins is out there. He's right up the road. That might be a guy that can come in. Cam Coleman, is that going to be an answer? I don't know. But you had guys that made some plays today to where you have that foundation, and it's a new system coming in on defense, that be ready for that. I think that now, whatever expectations that we're going to have going into next year, Zay, I think they're going to be a little bit more realistic. Honestly, this year, if you're in the Big 12, you probably are in the playoff. I mean, you probably would have gotten yourself into the playoff, not in the SEC. It's the best conference in the country. Now you're at a more level playing field. Everything's going to get even more competitive. Now, what I'm curious to see in the offseason is, how do you spend that money? How do you use that, and where do you spend it? Because that's the next thing. We can talk about coaching and all these different things. How do you spend? It's like your budget. Or are you going to spend it? You're going to buy a new car? You're going to go out and buy a house? You're going to rent a house? What are you going to do? That's the question going into the offseason. But I think that when it's all said and done, I'm okay with this. I'm okay with this when it's all said and done.
Yeah, yeah, well said. You know, you look at this team and previous 2 years, make the college football playoff. You're a few plays away in both of those seasons, 23 and 24, on making it to the national championship game. And then you bring in this kid with the last name Manning, and everything just goes berserk when it comes to the expectation. And I don't know if this coaching staff got too much into it to where maybe they were paying attention to the wrong things. Yep. During last year when it comes to winter workouts, and then when it comes to going in the transfer portal, because when it came to evaluating this offensive line, it was a hard miss. That mucked up the whole year. The whole year. And again, you're bitching from a yacht in the way when you say a 10-win season is a disappointment. But also, I know people get tired of saying this, but you can say this when you're at places like the University of Texas. The standard is the standard. And Steve Sarkisian getting rained on by Cheez-Its ain't the standard. Nope. It's not. As fun as the game was today, I'm sure Sark would probably tell you that's the last time he wants to get a Cheez-It shower, Gatorade-type shower, because that means you're not playing for the college football playoff. And let's also keep it a buck. The committee, college football committee, sucks. It's horrible. And absolutely mucked up this year by not putting Texas in there, because we want to give everybody a trophy and think that Tulane and dadgum James Madison is a national championship contender. So, yeah, we already know that's BS, but also, hey, you beat Florida. We ain't even doing a post-game show on the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl. And a lot of that was all coaching and having the wrong guys out there and making some very odd decisions when it comes to the play calling. We know the defense got fatigued as the year went on because they had to make up so much for the offense early on. It's weird how that works. I wish the teams were playing complementary football where the defense was playing on the same level as the offense and vice versa. We never truly saw that. We saw that against A&M. We saw that against Oklahoma, but we just didn't see that consistently. Kentucky shouldn't have happened. Mississippi yep. State shouldn't have happened. So, you know, those things, that's going to be tough to, you know, hold on to in the offseason. But you've made moves that show me that you ain't messing around. To get rid of Pete Kwiatkowski shows that you aren't messing around. Because I'm with you, Double R. He wasn't that bad.
Nope.
Where I don't think he deserved to get fired. I think some other guys maybe should have got fired before him. But, hey, that's here or there. We know what the situation is now. I'm with you. Who's going to – where are we going to spend this money? How are we going to spend this money? This is Arch's last season, hopefully. I'm saying break the freaking bank.
What I'm talking about.
Break the bank. If that means if Kotravion Wisner and DeAndre Moore aren't here, I better see you breaking the bank for some guys to replace that and then some, because those are core leader guys. Leonga LaFalle, throw him in the mix. And I had this Texas team going 9-3, but the talent wasn't 9-3. The talent was better than that.
Yep.
So I put it all on the coaching first. Those guys are making too much money for the mistakes that we saw this year. But you got a lot to be happy about. You got a lot of momentum coming into this next year. And you got your quarterback, which a lot of teams are scrambling for one. You got yours. And that guy is as tough as nails. And he's going to win you some big-time ball games. But unlike this year, you got to help him out a lot more than you did. And yeah. If they do that, then, hey, as hard as the schedule looks, you ain't going to be playing in the Cheez-It Bowl if you that's do
it.
That.
That's it. And that's really the main thing, because I keep hearing to where, yes, I mean, you look at the body of work. I mean, we talked about the games that Texas was really good in this year, and it was those real high-quality opponents that we're talking about. And, you know, the whole thing is, I keep hearing, well, the system's going to change. This is all going to get fixed. But I guarantee you next year, and it damn well better not be Texas next year at this point. If you're hovering around number 17, you're going to get left out. So you know what that means? You got to go spend that money like you're talking about and take care of fucking business. Yeah. And go out there and win, beat Florida. I mean, go out there and win those games you're supposed to win and put yourselves in a conversation. Don't get in a conversation that you shouldn't be in to where it's like, oh man, who's going to be the first team out? Who should? Don't even be in that conversation. Yeah. Don't even be in that conversation. That's my charge to the Texas program. Put yourselves in that conversation to where it's like, we're in. We are solidly in right now. Be like Ole Miss. Be like Ole Miss.
Well said, Devil R. Well right? said, baby. Well said, man. But we appreciate everybody for rocking with us all season long. It's been a blast, man. We love doing this here. Did every post-game show this year. And, again, hella fun. Like, love this business. Love what it brings. Love this network. Love the people. You know, love covering Texas, man. Love rocking with Double R here. Like, we got a great team here at Texas Sports Unfiltered. And even though the football season is over, football season never stops here at Texas Sports Unfiltered. And we're more than just football. Basketball season is on and popping, men and women's. Baseball, softball is about to start up. So, yeah, we got you cracking every day during the week. Catch all of our shows from morning slots to the afternoon slots. Everybody does a hell of a job. And, yeah, Happy New Year, y'all. I am Zay Collier. He is Roddy Rodriguez, the Texas Longhorns in the 2025 season. 10-3, beating the Michigan Wolverines 41-27 in the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl. Appreciate y'all. Y'all be cool.